Good. That I would decrease and you would increase. So that this word will touch the heart of all those hear it. And bring us great joy. And give us a great abundance of a harvest in this coming year, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I had what I can only say was on Christmas Eve through the night onto Christmas Day, I didn't sleep. Couldn't sleep. I just had this picture in my mind. And I'm going to share it with you now because it's, well, that's the title. It actually should have had something before that, Walking Together, Growing the Church. That's what it's entitled. And you think, well, how do you walk together? And I got this picture of like a three-legged race. You know, when kids at school or whatever, you know, they put, they tie that leg to the other leg of that person, and how do they kind of struggle towards the finish line? Because, yeah, you might be weaker than the one that you're actually walking with or so on, and so, you know, you're getting dragged along, and they might be the stronger one. But when more and more people are linked together, there's more strength there to drag the whole lot of us to the finish line. And that was the kind of the picture that I had. And it was also, I don't know if you noticed, when, I don't know if you've ever played dominoes and you use matchsticks as counters, and there's, you have like this board with lots of little holes in, and you would move the matchsticks one forward at a time, and that was the two pictures that I had. And that's what I believe that God is getting us to do here now for the future of the church, so that we're all kind of, we're all tied together. We're tied together because we belong in the family of Christ, which is what I've been sharing so far in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 is all about in Christ, who we are in Christ. And chapters 4 to 6 is all about the church and what we are to play and what we are to be in the church. So that's what I'm talking about today. But I'm going to start with Matthew 28, 19, verses 19 and 20, because it's the whole purpose of us being here as a bunch of believers or as a family. And that is, it says in there, Matthew says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, there's so much in that, I could preach a whole sermon on that, but Luke, he talks, or Mark, he talks about the same thing, but he says, preach the word. Right? In other words, that is that we are to give out the word of God to people that we meet. Right? So we're talking all of the time about the word of God. Right? The word of God lives in us and it should be coming out of us. Yeah? And that's why we say, you know, study the word of God. Because the more you put in, the more good is going to come out. Amen. And if we just look also to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 25, you'll get more of the drift of what I'm talking about here. And it says there, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
Now, the two verses that are coming next. And let us consider one another in order to stir love and good works.
Amen.
We are saved not by our good works, we are saved to do good works. This final part of this verse, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and listen, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. What's, whoever the writers of Hebrews is, some say that it's Paul, some say that it's a collection of people. But it's basically, what he's saying there is that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be in a local church, we need to be in the body because that's where we belong. Right? And really, you know, I think Graham and I have had this conversation a few times, but you know, Sunday morning for me should be the only day when you get up and you should be running to church, to be with your fellow saints, Because let me tell you, you've got a whole eternity to be with those other saints. You know, we are in eternity best friends with Abraham, Noah, Isaac, all of the great saints of the past. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John will all be there, and we're going to have a great time talking to them, and we'll get there and we're going to have wonderful conversations. But we're going there as a body. And so, you know, it is an essential thing to be in church. If it's the one thing that you get to, the Sunday morning service should be that one thing that you make every effort to get to. Now, I'm preaching to a whole bunch of empty seats at the back there. But, you know, but what I'm also saying is that, yes, there are times when we have to be with family and friends and so on. But when we're available, it shouldn't be, oh, I'm not going to church today. We should be running there. Because, you see, if we're not going there, we're going to miss something. If you see the body as a group of spiritual stones being built up together, or the body's being knit together, every ligament, every, you know, and so on. You know, if you're not there, then you're going to be missing something. But you're not there and you're not giving something. So it's the whole point of being here on a Sunday morning, is so that we all enjoy God's presence together, and so that we can all give something together, which is our praise and worship. I've got no notes today. All I've got is my scriptures. Right? So this is everything that was poured into me on Christmas Eve, and the days after as well. And I'd just like to go to the book of Philemon next. Now, this has only got one chapter in it, so it's going to be relatively hard to find for most of us. But it's in my Bible, it's page 1698. But it's just before the book of Hebrews, so just go back. And I'm looking at chapter 1, verse 6. So, I'm going to read verses 4 to 6. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What do we have, those good things in us of Christ Jesus? We have salvation. We have transformation. We have been taken from the point where we didn't know Jesus to the point where we do know Jesus. We've been taken from the point of where we are not a friend of God to the point of where we are a friend of God. We've been taken from the point where we are not children of God to be children of God. And we have a glorious inheritance in all of the saints. So there is something in us which is so good that it should be almost bursting out of our mouths. Yes, it should be, when you think about it. We should be waiting and be ready for when those royal appointments come, when those divine appointments come, that the words should easily flow. Now, the thing with that is that we need to know the word of God. But we need to be able to share it in a way that people are going to understand. We're living in days now where people don't even have any idea of the Bible. People don't even consider sin to be sinful. Right, they don't consider themselves to be wrong in any way. And so what we've got to do, and the easiest way to share our faith, is to tell them my testimony. What God's done for me through Jesus Christ and what I am now. Now, nobody can argue with that, because it's a transformation. It's happened. It's fact. Nobody can argue with it. They can argue as much as they want about the Word of God, the Bible, but you are a changed person. You're renewed. Your mind thinks in a different way now. Your body wants to act in a different way. Sometimes it's kind of wanting to go that way, but you've got to drag it to go that way. Yeah? And so that is what is good in us. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Oh, praise God. I had such a moment there earlier during the worship, I was just shaking. Just in the presence of God, it's wonderful. Oh. Right, Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called.
Yes.
Now listen to this next bit, because this is the bit we're kind of struggle with. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering and bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I shared the last time, you know, when I had the wonderful opportunities to witness my dad, who I believe was a master builder, and he showed me how to build a house with Lego bricks. But the process of putting one brick on top of another means it's bonding. Right, and that's that bond that we have. We are bonded together. You know, it's even greater than Evo Stick, right, this stuff. We are bonded together in that wonderful body of believers. Going on further in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Right. Verses 11 to 16 now. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now that doesn't mean that everybody's going to have all of those gifts. It just means some have been chosen to have those gifts. We should never envy those gifts. We just get on with it. Bless the people who have got those gifts and move on with what the gifts that God's given you with. Right? And it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means encouraging, building up. Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, this is the verse, joined and knit together. Now, I've never known how to knit, right? I've never experienced the joy of knitting, right? So therefore, but I do understand what it's like. You loop and loop and loop, and everything's a bit like bricklaying. It's bonding things together. It's bonding the wool together. It's keeping it together. So to make something, beautiful. So from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Now from that one verse, that tells us that we are a body knit together, right? Well, like kind of that, and we can't be pulled apart. We're joined. And it says by what every joint supplies. Now I'm saying this is that if, as I mentioned before, if we get to the point where we think, oh, I'm not going to church today. You see, there is a decrease in church attendance. There's more and more people listening to some of the people on mega churches rather than going to church. Mm-hmm. Listening to preachers preach on the telly rather than being joined in the local church. The problem with that is that you don't become joined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You can't be joined. There's a physical barrier of thousands of miles. Now, you might be in one spirit listening to somebody else, but we need to be in a local church. And we need to make every effort to get to church in order that the joint of the part that you are gives to somebody else. Amen. Yeah. See how that works? The joint, right? Each one of us, well, not one of us the head. Christ is the head of the church. But each one of us are either a shoulder, a knee joint, a toe joint, or whatever. And if that joint isn't in, then something is missing. And we don't get that because that person's not there, because they're not here to give that. So people who are listening to this online over the internet, right, you need to be here, or you need to be in your local church on a Sunday morning so that you can give of you and that others can give of themselves, so that we all build up each other and share in that wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Right. So remember that three-legged race picture. Right, that's what we are. You know, if there's 25 of us here, then there's 50 legs. You can imagine that may take some organisation to try and keep going in a straight line. But you see, that's the point. Right? Some of us will probably be dragging other ones along, and some of us might be dragging us along as well. But that's the whole point of it. That person at leg 40 is going to be having an impact on me, because they might be pulling further forward and getting over the line before we are. But they're still going to get us, the rest of us, over the line. Right? So picture that three-legged race. Right. Now there's a warning about the churches. Book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Isn't that just a warning? And it's verses 1 to 11. These are two churches, and I'm going to give you two of these so you can see that one church has lost its way and the other one is being blessed. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, this is chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labour, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have laboured for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless," big word, important word, nevertheless. There's something, there's a negative coming with this, with the positives. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love." What's that? That's people coming to church and just playing at it. That's people coming and doing the one-off Sunday morning worship thing and then not thinking about the Lord for the rest of the week. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have." So he's turning another positive here. "That you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Amen. Wow. Yes, Lord, that's I want to be at that tree. Right. And then, this is another church in Smyrna. "To the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life." It's talking about Jesus. "I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." That's a church that's standing firm. That's a church that's not giving in to false prophets. That's not just allowing anybody to preach anything they want. That's the church that's standing out in a world of darkness. And then we go to chapter 3 in verses 1 to 13. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things he says, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." Dead religion. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." So, let's go to the next one, verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia," verse 5. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So, verse 7, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere." This is the word for us this year. Persevere. "I will also keep you," I love this, from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That is, he's talking there of the rapture. We are going to be removed before the tribulation starts. Right? I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon you, upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth, for those that remain. We'll be long gone. We'll be sitting on the balconies of heaven, watching everything that's going on. Amazing. So, two warnings for two churches that have lost their first love and they're not doing as they should be doing. People who are just going to church and they're, yes, that's it for Sunday, now go home and they just act like a person of the world for the rest of the week. That's the warnings. Now God says on each one of them, if you don't repent, I'll take back your lampstand. You'll be removed from the church. You'll not be my church. Right, so we're called to persevere. We're called to grow and edify each other. We're called to live in unity and love. How do we do this? Well, John chapter 15 verse 12 tells us exactly how to. And this is in the chapter of Jesus talking about abiding in the vine. In verse 12 he says, this is my commandment. Remember before in Matthew 28, 19 he said to keep the commands. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh. Sorry Lord, failed already. That's what we're meant to do. Love one another as he has loved us. That very simply means that we've got to live in the same way that he lived. That very simply means that if we're called to suffer, then we have to suffer. If we are called to prosper, then we are called to prosper. But whatever we're doing in that time, we should be praising God as we're doing it. Amen. Tells us again in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The chapter of the Holy Spirit coming upon those that were gathered in the upper room. And it says, this is how we do it. And they continued steadfastly. Another one of them words that we kind of think, oh, steadfast. Steadfastly, unmovable. But when we're walking together, we are unmovable. Right. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The apostles had been given the message of Christ Jesus to give to the world. They've then passed that down in this wonderful book called the Bible to us, who ought to do exactly the same thing. But they carried on steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then it says in verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who were believed were
together.
Sometimes we miss words like that, you know. We'll just read this for what it means. Read every word and you'll see. Now all who were believed were together and had all things in common. We all have the love of Christ in common. Together we have the love of Christ. Together we can share our faith with this dark world. Together we can then disciple those that come in. Together we can pray for those that come in. We can pray for those who are our family to make sure that every one of us has our back covered. Because in the armour of God there is no cover for the back. That is you and I, each other, prayer covering your back. Never cease to pray for one another. In verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them all among all as anyone had need. In other words, we're to look out for each other. If anyone's struggling, we'll look after them. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So they kind of went around this three-legged race together, going around, right? Eating bread and ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. How many times do we sit down at the dinner table and give thanks to God? Every meal. Everything that we do, everything that we have is God's. We've just got it on a temporary loan. But we ought to give thanks for it. Sometimes you know, well, I haven't got this and I haven't got that and I haven't got the other. Look at what you have got before you look at what you haven't. Because the reason why you haven't got the things that you want is because God doesn't think that they're right for you. Right? So when you find out that that's not right for you, stop praying about wanting it. Because God thinks he's got something better for you. God knows he's got something better for you. We did this with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. You know, in this past year, I thank God for this, that I'm now the minister for the Asherton Town Council. So for all of the things that want me to do for that, you know, God's been opening doors with the refugee centre, opening doors with bridges again, opening doors with people, other people. We had a lady from the NHS who's like a community empowerment person. She's looking at where all of the bits are so she can fit them into the puzzle so that we can be part of whatever they're doing. And we're getting that advertising free. Right? You know, there's so many things the town council want to look at, maybe working something into a kind of a chaplaincy with businesses. So we'll see what happens with that. But you see, when we do that with gladness and simplicity of heart, when we walk together, that when I've got to go and do that, or when Lindsay's got to, or when you're going to do that, we all know what we're doing and we can pray into that situation. Praising God and having favour with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church
daily.
Oh, daily. Those who are being saved. What does that say to me? Look, we're not a failure because we're not adding daily, right? The first thing is first with the church is that you've got to grow together to get to know each other. Because if we're not together, then people aren't going to come in and just be able to be built on. You know, when somebody comes in, it's like another brick being put into the place, being bonded securely into the place. Right, that we grow as a building, we grow as a family, we grow as a church. Right. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, verse 3, but we also glory in tribulations. We thank God that we're going through this trial. Do you know something? When children are in school and they're sitting an exam, right? The only time the teacher is quiet is when they're in the exam.
Amen.
Think of that one. Oops. The Lord is quiet sometimes when we are in the trial. Why? He's looking to see if we're going to glorify him because of it.
What we've learned.
Remember that one. The only time that the teacher is quiet is when the children are doing an exam. That's us. It gives us the strength to get through it. But sometimes we might not hear from him, but he just gives us that strength to get through. Where was it? Yes. So therefore, through whom also we have access by faith in his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It's the word we started with. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, just because we get perseverance doesn't mean to say we've ticked that box, right? We will be continuing to persevere all through our lives, right? Character builds character and brings us hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to you. The Holy Spirit. Think of this as if you're pouring something into someone. The Holy Spirit is being poured into you all of the time. You know, we don't have to go around with our lips kind of like that, hoping that nothing's going to spill out. actually the Holy Spirit's pouring into us so that we can pour out to who we come across. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 37 to 39, and you'll know this one, maybe off by heart. We're still on how do we do this and how do we live as the church. It says, yet in all these things, all of the tribulation, all of the persecution, all of the famine, all of the nakedness or peril or sword, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. It just gets better and better. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Philippians.
Chapter 4, what?
Verses 4 to 8. Yes, you're having a bit of a tour through the New Testament today, but it's worth it. Because God's word is just stunning. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Perseverance, rejoice. That's why we need to be here on a Sunday morning. We've gone through a week where God's tested us. You know, brought us through a trial, and we get here on a Sunday morning and there's just whoosh, thank you. Together we come and just praise him and give him all the glory and all the honour. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. He didn't say it once. He reminds us to rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Always ready. And then, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, ponder them. Think about them. Think about all of these things, these scriptures I've given you today. Think about them. Think about, if you think constantly about them, they will come flooding out of you. The love of Christ will just pour out of you. As the Holy Spirit's pouring into you, you're just like one of them beakers, I think, where they've got a thing at the top and a thing at the bottom. And as you pour in here, it's just coming out the bottom. That's what it's meant to be. That's our relationship with God. He pours into us. Now, as I was doing this, God gave me a word for us. Unbelievableness. And this is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Lindsay and I, this is for us. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. We are to continue to do what we're doing. The church is called the Word of Life Church, which means we're all about the Word of God. We want to get the Word of God into as many people as we possibly can. And that, because there are so many people who are listening to all kinds of rubbish out there. I mean, we were watching some adverts last night, and it was like on television. I'm thinking, how am I? People are just believing anything that's thrown at them. And you know, the devil is working hard at trying to get our minds off Jesus. By watching this rubbish that's on the television. By taking our minds away from what we should be really do. We watch so much junk and think nothing of it. And then finally, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. This is for us all. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Amen.
So stir up that gift which is in you. Stir it up. Pray every day, Lord, stir up this gift that you've given me, that I may be a blessing to somebody else. It may be a smile to someone who's walking past you who just looks terrible and depressed. It might be reaching out to take someone and just take them over the road. It might be visiting somebody and telling them that you love them and you've missed them. It could be a whole range of things. But that love that we have has to be shared.
Yeah.
You know, the parable of the talents, where they kept the 10, the 5, and what they did with the 10 and what they did with the 5, but the person that kept that talent and buried it in the ground, Jesus told him to get away from him, and he gave that talent to somebody else. We've got to use the talents that God's given us. We've got to use them. We've all been given special individual gifts. Use them. Use them wisely. And you know, once all of this is done, we can look along the line of all of those legs joined together, and we're all in the same place. One step more and we walk over the finishing line. Can you imagine that? I wrote that song, "One Day When We All Get to Heaven." What a day of rejoicing that will be. The day that we cross over that line, that we see the saints that have gone before us, those that have been martyred, when we see them, when we see family that have gone years ahead of us, we see them face to face, but most of all, when we see Jesus face to face, and we've come, Lord, as one body. We've come because we want to be together and we want to share your love and your mercy. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Will I dance? Will I fall down? Will I sing hallelujah? I've got no idea what I'm going to do on that day. But it's probably going to be all three.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. I'm going to sing one last song. Yeah, we are.